and welcome to Homelessness Matters, a brand new podcast brought to you by Emmaus. Homelessness can happen for many different reasons and to people from all walks of life. To shine a light on some of those reasons, we're bringing you a mixture of stories from people who've experienced homelessness and now live at or recently moved on from one of our communities across the UK. In this episode, you'll hear from Becky, a companion at Emmaus Preston. Before joining the charity, Becky experienced sofa surfing. But through Emmaus, she's received the support she needs to get back on her feet and is now training to become a social worker. Then you'll hear from Karen Wallace, head of support at Emmaus Preston and Emmaus Burnley, who first joined Emmaus as a companion herself. I met them for a chat over Zoom. Hi, Becky. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, are you okay?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Thank you very much.
Good. Let's get going, shall we? First question, Becky. Can you tell me a little bit about your life before Emmaus?
So before I came to Emmaus, I wasn't street homeless, but I was doing a lot of sofa surfing between friends and family. And then I went through a mixture of different like charities where I was staying in different homes and stuff like that. I found that I struggled to like stay around other women. I'd argue, I'd fall out and stuff like that. And then I then found Emmaus in January 2018. And I was at Emmaus in Merseyside for a year and a half before joining Emmaus Preston and being here for 3 years.
Could you explain what the circumstances were that led you to become homeless?
Right, I have to go a little bit further back to start the story off. So I had my son and I ended the relationship that I was having with my son's father. But then I got straight back into another relationship and that relationship had domestic violence. So like I got pregnant again quite quickly and I ended up at social services got involved because I'd gone reported for domestic violence. So as soon as the police got involved, so the social services. And then they told me that obviously once the relationship, I had to end the relationship or they would take the children. So I kind of didn't end the relationship, if I'm being totally honest, to begin with. And they went to court to take the kids off me while I was still pregnant. So then I ended up going through social services for years and then I lost my kids to social services. And with that, I stopped paying my bills. I stopped doing anything. So I basically lost my home. I gave up on everything. I lost my home and that's when I ended up. So I went to my mum's. My mum kept me for a couple of weeks and then she kicked me out. So basically that is how I ended up starting to become homeless.
If we go back to what you were describing before, and thank you for going into that, what was a typical day when you were experiencing homelessness and sofa surfing?
So most of the time I'd literally just have a bed for the night. So rather than I'd have to spend most of the day out on the streets and not really communicating with many people, the only time I'd actually have somewhere to live is overnight time and when I went to sleep.
And how did you feel during this time?
It was horrible. I'd fallen out with all my family. I had basically felt like I had no friends. It was a really rough time in my life.
When you joined Emmaus, what did that feel like when you got told that you could join the community?
It felt really, really good once they said I could join the community. But to be honest with you, like when I first joined Emmaus, I wasn't settling. I nearly got myself kicked out in the first few weeks and stuff like that. But once I settled, I felt like everything just like fell into place. I started working regularly and I've been here ever since.
Back to kind of your typical day-to-day at Emmaus in the community. You mentioned as well working. What has that brought to you? Have you learnt new skills through your working?
Well, before I joined Emmaus, I'd never worked with customers. I'd been a support worker for adults with learning difficulties before I had children. And then when I came into retail, it was a totally different ball game. I was dealing with every type of person you could come across. I feel like I've got really good customer service skills, and I've learned a lot since joining Emmaus as well.
Can you explain kind of some of your highlights of your time at Emmaus so far, and maybe what you're most proud of during your journey?
Highlights would be like making friends, definitely is one of them. I feel like I've finally got a sense of what I want to do in the future. And basically, I feel like everything's going quite well now. What I'm most proud of is since September last year, I have started the Health and Social Care Level 2 course. So I feel like without Emmaus, I would never have been able to do that. And I'm now thinking about, well, I'm not thinking, I've already got onto an access course to study to be an adult social worker. We have social work students here. As soon as Karen will say to me, oh, will you speak to the social work students? My back goes up instantly because I've got that stereotype. As soon as I hear of social services, I don't want to know. But I actually find that talking to the social work students helps me a lot. It helps them as well because they're learning from like my mistakes that have been made through social services for myself. And that barrier is going down for me because I'm talking to them, I'm telling them my story. I want to become a social worker because if I can just change one person's opinion on social services, I feel like I've made a massive difference. So I feel like that's my proudest achievement.
Yeah, congratulations. Becky, would you mind talking about homelessness in general? Do you think there are misconceptions about homelessness and people who experience homelessness?
Definitely. I feel like obviously everyone tars people who are homeless with the same brush. It's like obviously out on the street you'd assume that everybody is either high or drunk, and that's not necessarily always the case. I mean, for me, for example, I've come off the streets and I've never done drugs, I've never been alcohol dependent. So I feel like there's a lot of misconception due to the fact that everyone, again, is tarred with the same brush.
How did you find that people treated you when you were experiencing homelessness?
Like a piece of dirt on the show. That is the God's honest truth. Everyone literally just treats you like you're just a druggie or an alcoholic.
What would you like people to know about homelessness and people who do experience homelessness?
In my opinion, I feel like people should know that everyone has a different background. Everyone has a different story to tell. Not everyone is, again, a druggie or an alcoholic. They should treat people as they see them rather than what they think. Everyone's got a past. Everyone should have a future.
You've spoken about the course that you're doing, which sounds really exciting. What are your future plans and what's next for you, Becky?
Right, so I have been with Emmaus for 4.5 years, and my next plan is to spend the next 12 months doing an access course at Preston College. And from there, I am planning on going back to Liverpool and doing a social work degree.
That sounds really exciting. Is that where you're from, in Liverpool?
I'm from Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah. If you could just sum up how Emmaus has helped you. I know that's a very vague and big question, but if you could sum up the difference that it's made.
It's made a massive difference. I came here, I was a really angry, like I'd argue with everyone. I definitely didn't trust people. All I wanted to do was hide away, not do anything. But since I've joined Emmaus, I've learned a lot of new skills like customer service, warehousing, pat testing. There's been loads of different courses, and I've made friends and I've slowly learned to build trust in people that I would never have trusted before. And I don't argue with people as much anymore either. It's just like every now and then I'll lash out to someone, but compared to like it used to be like every other day, now it's like once a month. So it's kind of like I'm learning to control my emotions.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's lovely to chat to you today, Becky.
No worries. Thank you.
That was Becky, a companion at Emmaus Preston. Now it's time to hear from Head of Support, Karen. Hi, Karen. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. It's nice to meet you, Chloe.
And you. If we get going, going then, Karen. Can you explain what your involvement has been with Emmaus?
So I came to Emmaus as a companion in 2012. I came from prison into a bail hostel to Preston and then moved into Emmaus Preston. Whilst I was a companion, I became what's known as a responsible companion. And then from there, I ended up moving into employment as a companion development worker or working in support. And I've recently, in November last year, been promoted to head of support of Emmaus Preston and Burnley, which is soon to be Emmaus Lancashire.
Oh, well, congratulations, Karen.
Thank you.
Can you talk about how that felt, kind of that journey of joining as a companion and now you support other companions on their journey out of homelessness? You just talk that through.
Yeah, so like what Becky has previously said, when I came as a companion, I had massive trust issues. So I sort of had to work on my own issues and barriers that had held me back. And then I found myself becoming like the mother of the house. So in doing that, lots of people had come to me with their problems and when they were trying to settle in. And I think that led to the staff here seeing that I was quite good at that side of things. So I was then put through lots and lots of training. So I'd done level 2 and level 3 counselling at Preston College and then loads of other courses, masses of courses. So budgeting, suicide prevention, mental health first aid, you name it, I've done it all. And then I found myself, it must be just in my nature, but I found myself also supporting the other staff members, which I think is what's led to me, because I wasn't going to go for this new role. I was just going to stay as I was because I was happy in that role. But everyone said, oh, just go. And I didn't think I'd get it, but I went for it and happened to get it. So I'm still adapting to the new role because I'm still all about the companions, obviously, but I'm managing it. So I still work with the companions, but also I'm doing this, helping the staff and settling the staff in as well.
Well, it sounds brilliant. And again, congratulations. How have you used your experiences, your own experiences of homelessness and being a companion to then support companions?
I think I've been able to do that quite well. And it helped me because instead of my past being quite destructive to me, I can now turn that around and use it in a helpful way to help other companions. I think that I tend to break down those trust barriers earlier than other staff do because of the fact that I can empathise. I've been there. Everything, I don't think I've ever had an issue that a companion's come to me with yet that I haven't already been through myself. So I can support them in that way. So there's lots of my different experiences throughout the many years that I was homeless. I can empathise with them and I understand them, I think, a bit better than someone that's never been there. I was homeless on and off for 15 years, approximately. It started off through domestic violence and it then became, enforced addiction, I suppose, is the word they use to describe it. And then I managed to get clean from drugs, but then swapped one addiction for another and became an alcoholic. But in the 15 years I was on the streets, I had no one. So I had no family. It was just me and the abusive partner until he passed away. And then it was just me on my own. I've had experiences where I've been beaten up on the streets. I've been spat at. I've had things thrown at me. I've been urinated on while I've been asleep on the streets. But in the end, one particular kick that I took, it just prompted me to, like, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't stay out here anymore. But I had nowhere to go because in the town I was homeless, there was no homeless support whatsoever. So I ended up making my own support, which was, and this sounds really bad, but there was public toilets that you used to pay to get into and they used to automatically lock down at 7 o'clock in the evening. So I'd make sure I got 20p to get into those toilets every day and I made that my home for many years. I'd put cardboard down on the floor, stuffed tissue along the edge of the door. I had light. I was safe because I was locked in. I could get out, but nobody could get in. I had a toilet, I had facilities where I could have a wash, and if it got freezing cold, I just kept sticking my hand under the hot air dryer to circulate the warm air. So that became my home for many years. And then from there, in between that, prison was my second home, I suppose, because that was my safe place. So lots of people think that prison's really scary, and it does have its aspects of being scary, but it became my safe place because I knew I had a bed, 3 meals a day, and I was like given routine and stuff. So it became my second home, I suppose.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Karen. Okay. Can you describe what it was then like after experiencing that to join in the Mayus community and the difference you felt?
After I'd like worked through my trust issues, I've also found that, you know, the people in the community became a family. And yeah, I would fall out with people and we would bicker and stuff, but it's like brothers and sisters do. So this became my family. And I originally only planned to stay in Emmaus until I got on my feet and moved on into like a bed or a flat or whatever. But I loved the family aspect and the not claiming benefits and the working and giving things back to others. So rewarding that it made me end up staying as a companion for 3 years. So,
and here you are.
Yeah. Still with Emmaus 10 years down the line.
What changes have you noticed within yourself during your time at Emmaus?
Lots and lots of changes in myself. I've learned a lot about myself. So I've had so much personal development. I learned a lot of that also when I was going to college. I've learned to be more tolerant of people. I've learned that everybody who comes to Emmaus comes for a reason. And just because something might seem small to me, to them it could be massive. So I deal with each person dependent on their needs, I suppose. So I've learned a lot, and I've also learned how much I do enjoy trying to help others. I mean, I can't fix everybody and save the world, but if I can do a little bit to help them get through the sort of things I went through, then I feel like I'm doing some good.
And we just heard from Becky and her experience and her story. What changes have you noticed in Becky during her time at Emmaus?
Loads of changes in Becky. So she was in Emmaus Merseyside, and then she came to stay with us for a holiday, and I met her briefly for a week then, and then she liked it in Preston, so she asked could she move over. And when she first come, she explained this to you, she had quite a lot of anger issues, but these are again because of past traumas. She wasn't very tolerant of others. She sort of like would react at the drop of a hat. And again, she had trust issues. So it was about breaking those barriers down. And I've worked with Becky quite a lot, and I've seen so much progression in her in the time she's been in Preston. It's like now she'll come and talk to me rather than reacting. So she'll come and offload. Sometimes she might have a cry. Sometimes she might have a rant, but that's perfectly fine. That's what she needs to do. She's been amazing at work. She's took on roles really well at work. I'm so proud of her with her course that she's doing. She's done level one and now she's doing level two, and she's worked really, really hard on it. So I'm so proud of her. And it's good that from the girl that first came that was just angry, untrusting, and didn't know what she wanted out of life, to now see her with this plan and to be working through those little barriers is amazing to see. It makes the job worthwhile when you see things like that.
Well, it sounds great. It's a testament to the work of you and all the other staff at Emmaus.
She probably wants to kill me sometimes, but that's okay.
Like you said, it's all family. Karen, you've mentioned that you've been involved with Emmaus for about 10 years. What have been some of your highlights during that time?
I think my highlight, there's a few. So my highlights from being with Emmaus are, there's loads actually, but they enabled me to get back in contact with my children, which was a massive thing for me. I love seeing the progression in the companion. So you'll get someone that comes to the door and first moves in with no self-esteem, no confidence, just beaten down. And then throughout the journey, we'll have our ups and downs, like a bit of a roller coaster. But when you get to that final outcome where they're moving on to independent living, they've got such confidence about themselves and they're getting into employment is brilliant. And they still keep in touch once they've moved on. So they'll send me the odd text saying, I'm doing this at work or this is happening. So it's good that they stay in touch in that way as well. But also, I was lucky enough to be involved in the Homelessness Reduction Act. So I got to go to Parliament a few times and speak to the Lords there. And it also led to me going to Downing Street, which was amazing.
How did that feel, kind of using your own experiences and being able to tell your story on that platform and make a change?
It felt good. It did feel good. But when I tell my story, everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. It's inspirational. But I don't see it as that. To me, it's just a story. It's just what's happened in my life. But it's good that if you can make a difference, it's like one of the things I really wanted to fight for was people moving to new areas and needing that local connection, because I felt that that barrier stopped lots of people from making that fresh start that they needed to. So I know it's rolled out in certain areas. I don't know if it's rolled out in them all. No, it's not in Preston yet.
As I kind of asked Becky, what do you think are some of the misconceptions surrounding homelessness and the people who experience homelessness?
Sort of same as what Becky said, everyone stereotypes homeless people as those people that are sat on the street begging for money, alcohol issues, drug issues, and it's not always the case. The saying is that every adult is only two paychecks away from homelessness, so it should matter to the wider audience, because at the end of the day, that saying, but for the grace of God, there go I, it could happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone at any point. And just because someone's homeless, it doesn't mean that they're a drug addict or an alcoholic. I know people that have come through our door here who had their own business, have family and everything, and they've lost it due to financial reasons. And they've ended up on the street. And then through being homeless, they've ended up with an addiction to alcohol or something. So it's actually been a coping mechanism whilst they've been on the streets. So I think that no, they shouldn't stereotype and tar everyone with the same brush. Everyone is an individual and everyone has their own story to tell. So I think people need to be empathetic and think that, you know, put themselves into that person's shoes, because they don't know that person's story.
It's a lovely note to almost end on. I do have one more question though, Karen. From your experiences of both the companion and now working in support, what do you think is important or about the Emmaus model in tackling homelessness?
I think, first of all, that they say Emmaus is a bed for life, and that's great. Obviously, for some people, it will be. I've got a couple of companions here that have told me they're in the 60s. They've said they will never move on from here because this is their family, this is their life, and that's great for them. Obviously, the younger people like Becky, I don't want this to be her life forever. If she chose it, I'd never stop it, obviously, but my job in support is to empower her to get past those barriers, get into independent living and get into employment and live a happy and fulfilled life. So I think that the fact that not everybody can fix themselves in a small time frame, you know, like if you've got some accommodation for, say, 12 weeks, not everyone could fix themselves in that time and deal with the issues that they've got. So I love the fact that you can stay in a mess as long as you need to. Also, I think the work is important, because when you're living a homeless life, it's very chaotic. There's no structure, there's no routine. And by getting up and going to work, not only do you feel like you've got that structure and that routine, it also works as a distraction for many people from their issues. And that doesn't mean they'll go away, but it helps them to, you know, focus on the day to day and get through each day one day at a time whilst we work through the barriers. So that part's important. But I think the most important thing about Emmaus and a companion is empowering them. It's empowerment. That's the biggest thing, is making them believe in themselves and empowering them.
What a note to end on. Thank you so much for your time today, Karen.
No problem. Thanks, Chloe.
Thank you to both of our guests, Becky and Karen. You've been listening to Homelessness Matters, a podcast from Emmaus. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, you can catch up on all of our previous episodes. See you soon.